Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Dr. Dave. High atop the radio here, Radio World, how's that, in downtown Portland. And we'd like to welcome all of our affiliates in the Radio Northwest Network and, of course, in Texas. Well, the Jack Daniel's competition is in the history books. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking to some of the winners. Today on The Nation, we welcome back John Nilgus from Parrot Head Smokers. John and his team were fourth overall this year at the Jack, and their high marks included, but not limited to, they got second in the ribs and sixth in the chicken. Those are pretty good marks, John. Welcome to this, back to the show.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be back. A couple years ago, I guess we did this.
Yeah, I think so. By the way, I'm playing Jimmy Buffett music today at the breaks for you, just so you know. Feel at home.
That sounds good. Yeah. Yeah. No, 2 years ago we reserved down there, and pretty shocked by that. And again, just about as shocked by that as we are right now. So, second with the ribs, and those we've really struggled with all year and always have been for such an easy thing to cook. But always just tweaking stuff all the time. And when they called us up with a 180, it was just, kind of an oh my God moment. The chicken, we've had a lot of chicken calls, luckily, down there at Jack. And you're always kind of hoping that's going to be the one that hits. And when we get sixth, and had a pretty high score with it, and I think everybody in front of us had 180, so a lot of good chicken down there.
So how is the Jack different for you than obviously your weekend competitions or maybe going to KCBS or the Royal, something like that?
Oh, going to the Jack, in reality, it's, I mean, the Jack is the Jack, and we, man, I put on a ton of miles. We're traveling all over every weekend and trying to get back there. Put our whole emphasis for our whole year on getting back to the Jack. So you put a lot of pressure on yourself to get back, and then once you're there, it seems like you take, a little extra time trimming everything, a little extra time injecting everything, it's a great time down there. A lot of great cooks, and you just really hope to hear your name get called one time and, get out of your seat.
Oh, yeah. Now, for those of our listeners who don't know, why don't you quickly go over the process of how you get invited to the Jack?
Well, there's, multiple ways that you can get into the Jack. If you've cooked there 9 times, you can get in as soon as you win one time, and that's pretty rare. I think there's only been 4 cooks that have done that. You can get in there by winning 7 competitions during the year, which is, usually pretty hard. There's, maybe 3 or 4 guys that will do that over the course of a year. Or you can be drawn out of your state or out of a state, where you win at. And if you're cooking in Kansas or Missouri, your shot is 1 in probably, 22 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a home state process that if no one from your state gets drawn and you're the only one from that state that has a win, you can also get in. And then they have, I think it's called the lucky draw or something, So then out of, the hundreds of people that don't get drawn, they draw one more out. And then a real good friend of mine, Joe Bob's, Juan, he got drawn, and he was from Wyoming, and I think he'd cooked 1 contest last year and won it, and then got that lucky draw, and he'd retired from cooking, so it was fun to see those folks again. They got a good rib call down there, so we're all happy.
That's good. Now, so for those of you who don't remember John, maybe, and listen to this show on a regular basis, I'm going to ask him this question. Are you still drying your wood in your wife's oven at night when she goes to bed?
Yeah, I am. We have, we're going to go down and cook Nashville in, next week. And I just put a load in the two ovens there. And yeah, I think that's about ready to run its course. I'm getting the evil eye at home now. Because I'll tell you what, when that moisture comes out of that wood, it doesn't exactly smell like perfume.
No.
You can really tell it in the house for a couple days. So got to figure out a different way to get that stuff dried down.
Well, and don't forget, you got Thanksgiving coming up and Christmas. So, you know, Mama's going to look in that oven, and if she sees any bark and burnt wood, I hope you have a man cave out in the shed or something you can go.
Yeah, unfortunately not. Yeah, she's on to me, so gotta have to do something different.
Well, I'll tell you what, John, people locally that listen to the show, and when I run into them, that is one of the things that they remind me of. You know that guy you had, I don't know where he was from, but he dried his wood in the oven, and they all are very positive. Like, you know, I think that's very creative. But then they kind of slap their knee and say, what the hell was his wife thinking? Or something like that.
You know? Yeah, well, you know, like I said, you know, a couple of years ago, she never knew. And so I'd wait until she went to bed and put it in there and let it dry and then get up early and get it out of there. But, you know, she started complaining that, hey, you know, every time I turn this on and bake something, it smells like smoke coming out of there. So, you know, then you had to work a little harder to make sure you got all the dust and everything out of there. But, you know,
but
it worked.
Oh, no, worked. It worked. But I think that's one of the most creative stories I've heard of here while doing this show, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Quite frankly. The last time we talked, I don't think I asked you, but where do you get your meats from, and what meats do you use? We've got about 2.5 minutes here before we got to take a break, so fire away.
Yeah, I'm using an organic chicken that comes out of Nebraska, and then our pork and pork ribs are from out of Minnesota, Compart Family Farms. So that's a Duroc blend hog, mm-hmm. And then briskets. I've got a guy that I've been using for years that. You know, he raises a few, so I use his, and if I can't get them, you know, we're going to use a Snake River Farms or, you know, if a larger one's available, and then, you know, otherwise you just, seems like brisket, we're always kind of piecing that one together. It's the toughest one to, you know, it's the toughest one to get the quality that you're looking for and in the size that you're looking for.
Sure. How big of a brisket do you like?
Oh, I like them the bigger the better, really. You know, maybe if I can get up around there, that 19, 20 pounds, I'm a real happy camper. You know, it all comes down to the size of that flat. You can get a, you know, an 18 pound brisket that has, you know, no flat depth to it. And vice versa, we cooked one in Boise that was probably only 15 and a half pounds. It was real nice and thick. So, you know, you never know until you get into those. And we had kind of a thin one going into the Jack, and so we had to kind of have one overnighted down there, which is definitely not the way to do it. So we got a 20 pounder overnighted, and it shows up, and of course it's solid as a rock. So we literally are fast thawing a brisket for the Jack in our bathtub with cold running water, trying to get the thing to thaw out.
Oh man!
Yeah, it's not the way you want to, you know, go into a world championship and do it. But it you know, it turned out all right. So, you never know. I'll tell you, the whole week kind of went that way. You know, our chicken didn't show up. Brisket flat was thin. And then it was just, you know, we were cooking in the mud and the water down there. And you know, just a bunch of little things. So,
did you
hope things to go smoother, but you never know.
Did you really think about, okay, I'm just going to take the Jack part of this deal and go to find a lawn chair and sit under a tree where it's dry and think about life for a couple hours?
That would be good. You know, we were going to go up the hill, and they had pre-warned us at the Cooks meeting that, you know, this front was going to come through and, you know, expect 40-mile-an-hour winds and rain and everything. So I'm like, I'm not leaving. I mean, this is a jack. I'm sitting in this tent, and the rest of you guys, you know, I had some friends show up, and, you know, I think one went back to the room and just watched football, and, so we didn't get to do as much as we wanted to down there for fear of, you know.
Right.
You don't want to lose your tent.
No.
And you got to do what you got to do.
No, absolutely. Hey, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back and talk with John Nilgus from Parrot Head Smokers, and we're going to tell the story of how he got that name right after this. Don't go away. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. Little Jimmy Buffett there for you. I want to go back to Cartagena. And we're the people that our parents warned us about. Absolutely. I know that for a fact. If you'd like to email us, it's BBQNation, that's BBQNation@KXL.com. Or you can check us out on Facebook with BBQNation/JT. Also, say hi to a couple of our affiliates, KWRO in Coos Bay, KPNW in Eugene. Thank you very much for having us on your airwaves today. John Nilgus from Parrot Head Smokers. The name Parrot Head is synonymous with Jimmy Buffett, hence the music today. But tell the story about how you actually came up with the name.
Just a panic moment, basically, you know. Had to have a team name, and rep said, hey, what do you want to put down? And we had the music on, and we just went with that, and it stuck, and I guess we're stuck with it forever now.
Well, it hasn't done you any harm.
No, you know, it is what it is. We kind of like, you know, we put up some parrot stuff once in a while, a little bit of, we try to travel real light, though, you know, when you're running all over creation, and I'm still kind of the old school guy, we do it out of a tent and just a little towable offset, and so if you don't have three uses for something, it generally doesn't go, so.
Sure.
You know, it's like our igloo coolers, you know that we use. You know, the meat comes in, and you know we keep them cold in there, and then, you know, when everything gets done, that's my Cambro, because you know I don't want to bring a Cambro too. So then we just use the coolers as the hot box, and then in the middle of the night, I put two blankets over top of the coolers and lay on the coolers all night. So you know, it ain't the best for a 55-year-old fat man, but, you know, it works.
Hey, whatever gets you by. I slept, I slept on lots of tack trunks and stuff when I was in the horse business with a horse cooler wrapped around me, which is a big kind of felt or wool light sheet, and it'd keep you pretty warm, actually.
Yeah, after so many years, we finally figured out, you know, you tried to figure out a way to keep your tent a little bit warm. I'm like, well, this is insane. I'm trying to keep a tent with, you know, thin walls and wind and cold warm. It's just bring an electric blanket, you know.
Right.
Keep yourself warm, you know.
Staying warm.
That is our one luxury now, is to bring an electric blanket from time to time.
That's pretty good, John.
I got to get flat, and that's, you know, and Cooks will, you know, ask for advice or whatever, and, you know, that's kind of one of those, you know, if you're up all night just sitting in that chair, it's like, just, you know, figure out a way to get flat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Take a little, you know, because it's hard on your back and hard on your legs and circulation and everything, and just, you know, just getting flat for a little while, I think makes, you know, a big difference. I'm trying not to sleep because you're, you know, every 25 minutes you're feeding some wood in there, some charcoal in there, or, you know, you're messing with meat. And
yeah.
So it just, if you get too comfortable, you're going to wake up and be 10 in the morning and go, what the heck just happened?
Yeah, and everything, the meat's still raw, and everybody's looking at you like you're a fool.
Yeah, so you want to be comfortable, but at least for me, I don't want to get too comfortable and actually go out and fall asleep.
No, that probably would. Did you ever send Jimmy Buffett some pictures?
No, he'd probably sue me.
No. He wouldn't. You ought to send him some on one of his social media pages, sometime.
I should. We for the Jackie, do a little kind of a, you know, we bring some big parrot, 7 foot kind of a, sheath or not sheath, but anyway, that you hang them up off of our, we have a Jack Daniels tent too. So yeah, it'd be a good look. I should do that.
No, he'd love that.
Yeah.
He'd love that. We used to see Jimmy Buffett when he came into Portland. This was before he got really, really famous. There was a tavern here called the Euphoria. He named his first sailing boat after the Euphoria Tavern. Little trivia there for people. So
yeah, a lot of Parrothead fans out there. That's for sure. The parking lot for a concert, can't beat it.
Oh, no, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I've got it on my satellite radio. Whenever I get tired of all the political crap, I just flip to Jimmy, listen to him.
There you go. Yeah. Much better than scraping chicken skin, I bet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, pretty much anything is better than that. But, you know. Mm-hmm. What do you look for in your chickens, John, when you're cooking chicken?
Oh, you know, obviously the skin is the biggest issue. So we're always trying to find, you know, something with a kind of a thin, tender skin to it. And then just decent size, you know, chicken, and hopefully something that's, you know, tender, and it's going to, you know, stay a good moist product. And you know, people say, oh, chicken's chicken, and I guarantee it's not. You know, just like everything that we use, it's a, you know, we've cooked everything that we can get our hands on as far as, you know, ribs and chicken and everything. And you just, for me, it's always been, you know, back in the day, we're always scared to death to buy chicken more than about 1 or 2 days out, and not that way anymore. But so you go down to Florida and you'd buy chicken down there. And so your first day there, we'd buy 7, 8 brands of chicken, cook them and see which is the best. And now we don't have to do that when we go down there, because you already know, but it's definitely differences in chicken.
Well, I talked to a couple of the guys interviewed, like Travis Clark and a couple of those guys after the Royal, and they kept telling me they were using smart chickens, and I kept laughing. I said, I've never seen a smart chicken in my life.
Yeah, they can't be too smart, or they wouldn't be in that bag.
No.
Yeah. It's good chicken. That comes out of Nebraska, down by Lincoln, Nebraska, and I think you see a lot of cooks using their stuff. So, but there's a lot of good brands out there, and again, a lot of times it's just whatever you can get, you know?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well,
chicken.
Growing up on the farm, if you will, and when, here's a quick story. We were remodeling the kitchen, so they tore out part of the house, and under there, they found some Banty, you know, Banty chickens.
Sure.
Yeah. Eggs that God knows how long they'd been there, so we took them out in the field and broke them. That was a bad thing. My dad got upset because it stunk so bad. It stunk up the whole farm, actually. My God, it was horrid. We're going to take a break, and we're going to be back with John Nilgus from Parrothead Smokers, one of the big winners at this year's Jack, right after this. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT here on the Radio Northwest Network. Dr. Dave, he's out writing his own prescriptions. Yes, he is. Anyway, we've got John Nilgus from Parrothead Smokers. Where do you go from here, John?
I'm going to take a week off. Going out to Denver, the Rocky Mount Barbecue Association banquet. So we're lucky enough to win the team of the year for that organization. So we'll go out and get a little award, and then back, and then we're going down to Nashville and next week, and cooking down in the Gulch, down by all the honky tonks, and hopefully won't get into too much trouble.
I don't have that much faith in you. I got faith in you, John.
You know, the old me would have done, gone down there, gotten, you know, had a hell of a good time. But you know, when you're spending $1,500 on a weekend to cook these darn things, you know, them days are gone.
Oh, the math comes through really clear.
It does.
Especially when you're still trying to hide cooking wood in your stove from your wife. Anyway.
Yeah.
How do you decide your changes kind of in production? I mean, we were talking off the air. We've talked a lot. You know, you tweak here, you tweak there. But when you finally say, okay, whatever I'm doing here, I'm actually going to put that in to the way I do things full time. And maybe it's the amount of time you spend seasoning and rubbing the brisket, or maybe it's, you know, looking for a smart chicken or something, whatever it is. But how do you finally make those decisions?
At least for me, it's either you're getting killed in something every week and you go, I need to just try something.
Right.
Out of just necessity, or, you know, a lot of times, you know, chicken has always been a good category for us, but it seems like we'd started the year and it was kind of that, you know, where you were eighth and ninth, and yeah, sometimes you need to just be happy with that too, you know. More often than not, you're going to just tweak these recipes and all of a sudden you're 15th. And so it's just kind of a, you know, trial and error sort of a thing. Well, you know, not make huge changes, but just little things, you know, here and there. And if it, you know, you get a good result a couple times, and then it stays.
Mm-hmm.
But you never know. You know, back to the Jack, the long list of things that went wrong that could have gone wrong down there. We're down there messing around at midnight, me and a couple guys, and shooting iPhone videos and sending them to our buddy who I know is trying to sleep. And we get into my quart of sauce that we've done well with all year for pork and open it up, got it all over my face like I've been attacked and
sending
these stupid videos. And I go to put it back under the cooker and hit the side of the cooker and smash the one quart of barbecue sauce that we brought with us. So, rib sauce, which did well down there. We're like, well, we got to use something left. So that's what we used. And now we go to Nashville, we got a new sauce. We're going to go using our rib sauce. So sometimes it's planned, and sometimes in this case, it just, you know, it just happens.
Karma is a bitch sometimes.
It is.
I mean, you know, I'm like I was telling you off the air back in the show days, man, sometimes you'd be on a roll. You'd be doing great, and then you would get to one event, and it's just like everything just kind of went, and that's it, you know?
And yeah, we had that early this season. It was one thing after another. You know, the truck. You know, we had different problems with the engine at two different contests. And of course, it's not when you're home. It's when you're in Mississippi. You're in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to Salt Lake. And when I get done trimming chicken, I cryo back it, and I wanted to drop that temp real fast because you've been messing with it. And so I put it in the freezer for about 20 minutes. Get out to Salt Lake and got to do meat inspection. Where's the chicken? Back home in the freezer. It was about six contests in a row. We just, did the Vegas Sam's Club thing, and the bearing went out on the trailer and got stuck out there for, three or four days. So it's just, you never know.
It's tough. It is
next
tough.
Next year will be smooth.
It's got to be. It's just
got to be.
It's got to be for you, buddy. All right, let's go do a few little lightning round questions for you. I'll let Dr. Dave, when he comes in, put the music under this thing. But are you ready, John?
Fire away.
Okay. So what was the most important thing you learned from your recent trip to the Jack?
Just go with the flow.
Yeah?
Whether that's water or karma or mud, it doesn't matter.
Now, a couple of these you've probably answered on our previous time when you were on a couple years ago, but what barbecue skill took you the longest to master?
Oh boy, it's weird because they all have come and gone. You know, early days ribs did well for me, and then didn't. And sometimes you just gotta, everybody's turning in spare ribs now. So I think it was really trying to get past the I hate wrapping meat thing, which to me we're turning in a lot of steamed meat that, you're putting sweet sauce on, and I don't really like to eat that, and I don't really consider it barbecue. It's more nursing home food if you ask me, but, so many new judges, and that's what they know, and that's what is being taught in classes, so you can sit here and scream all you want, but I think that's the hardest thing for me, is turning in things that I would prefer not to really even eat.
Got it. What's the dumbest thing you've ever seen done with a grill or a smoker at a competition?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
Okay, let me ask you this then. What's the biggest mistake you think you've ever made during a competition, besides leaving the chicken at home and blowing the bearings in your truck?
Yeah. Oh, you know, just changing stuff. Sometimes, like I said before, you just got to leave things alone, and I'm just terrible about doing that. It's like, it's just a contest, you know. How are you ever going to know unless you do it? You know?
Right.
And that's all good, you know, if you cook an extra piece of meat or you do that at home, but to drive 1,000 miles and then go, let's just try something different. I've done that a lot, you know. 80% of the time, it don't work. But when it does, you know, you got something, so...
Well, John, you live in South Dakota, so have you ever cooked in the snow in your underwear?
Definitely have cooked in the snow. I don't know about the underwear part, but definitely in the snow.
Okay.
That's just all part of being, you know, living around there. And we've done contests, and I remember Osage, Kansas, you know, some years back. We had sun, we had rain, we had hail, and we had snow, all within 18 hours.
Yeah.
You know, you're up there with a broom trying to knock snow off your tent, you know, the top of the tent. So it's,
that's like the weather in Oregon here, where I live.
Crazy.
You can see all that in a couple hours here.
Yeah. But you know, it's wind is the thing. And I can put up with rain or mud or cold or whatever. You can get by with that. But it's wind. If you've got, you know, more than about 17 miles an hour, it's a challenge, to keep that tent there.
Yeah. Well, and to keep your fires, constant.
Yeah. We cooked down in Knoxville, Tennessee last year, and that wind changed, you know, front comes through, and it's blowing straight into the stack. And you know, it literally blows the heat out when it's blowing that hard, and you're running a full stack open, and your intake open, and, you know, I could sit there and you'll watch the temp go down 50 degrees, and it's blowing fire out the back end of the thing.
So yeah.
That's a real challenge, yeah.
Where's the worst place you've ever had to cook as far as a competition? You don't have to give the name of the actual competition, but, you know, you might say Armpit, Nebraska or something. I don't know.
Yeah. No, they're all, you know, it's a lot of it's the same over the years. You kind of, I do recall cooking in Kansas City a few years back, though. He showed up, and it was a tough contest to get into, and your spot's supposed to be so big. And I get there, and I'm like, well, where's it at? And they're like, right there. I'm like, yeah, but that's not enough. Well, half your spot's down in the creek. You got to be kidding me. In the creek.
Well, were you going to catch crawdads or something? I mean,
I guess. And so I think that would probably have been my worst experience, and we were in there so tight you couldn't get. I had a trailer back then. You couldn't get the trailer down. You couldn't get hooked back up when it was time to go because the next guy was right on your nose of the trailer, and then trying to cook out of about 8x15 spot was that's probably the worst one.
That's probably pretty tough. We're gonna take another break, and we're gonna come back and talk to John a little more before we get out of here today. Really quickly, again, if you want to email us, it's BBQNation. That's BBQNation@KXL.com. And send us some pictures and recipes, and if we like it, we're going to send you something out of my prize closet from Smokehouse Products. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with John Nilgus from Parrot Head Smokers. And South Dakota, no snow yet. There's your weather forecast for the weekend. How's that? Do you have snow?
There has been snow. We had a little dust last night, and I know out in the Black Hills, at the other end of the state, I think they've had snow 3-4 weeks ago already.
There you go. Hey, do you have any favorite barbecue judges? I mean, I know the way it's all kind of blind judging, like here's the box and, you know, it's numbered or whatever, but Do you think, and you don't have to name them, I don't want you to do that, but do you have judges that you've competed under before and you think they do a good job?
Well, you know, they're instructed usually, and they're you always try to get a feel for, you know, we're trying to guess how we did, and we're trying to guess how everybody else did. So when you do get to talk to a judge afterwards, it's like, well, hey, how was everything? You know, trying to hopefully, you know, get some insight to what, you know, what's going on back there. And they're all usually, oh, it's all pretty good, you know. So they're instructed not to say too much.
Right.
And they generally don't. So, you know, when you get into some of these areas, you know, and you're cooking 6 or 7 contests, and so you get to know some of those guys a little
sure.
bit.
Sure.
Fun to talk to them. And so, yeah, there's a few of those guys that we know, but you tend to really never talk about, you know, what they may have done, you know, or seen that particular weekend, because KCBS kind of frowns on that. So,
right.
so we don't want to, you know, you never want to give the impression that you're getting too friendly with anybody in there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're great people, so it's kind of, you know, you're not supposed to talk to them on Saturday morning sort of a thing. I can talk to him up until 11:59, but not at 12:01. Doesn't
right.
make a lot of sense to me, but it's the impression.
No, it's the impression and the perceptions. I mean,
yeah.
you have that in most kind of, if you will, even though we consider ourselves pros, it's still kind of an amateur sports association situation yeah. with whether it was horses or barbecue or field hockey or whatever it is. And you really don't want to give the impression that you're sucking up to the judges, you
no,
know, or the
no,
refs or something.
Buddy-buddy and...
Yeah.
You know, the bigger contest, the chances are you getting on them tables, you know, sometimes a little remote anyway. But, yeah, so it's the rule, and everybody's going to have to abide by it.
Yeah. Is there one thing you would change, John, in the competitions? I mean, just
well,
give me one.
Kale. Yeah, we got kale changed a year ago and kind of spearheaded that, and that's that's made a whole lot of cooks' lives a whole lot easier. Them kale boxes are much easier to make.
Oh.
To me, part of the meat inspection, it seems like I've never really had anybody able to tell me why I can use Tyson or a Hormel or a Smithfield or whatever injected product, but I can't inject it with the same stuff and be legal. So, to me, if you want to inject at home, I think maybe that will just let you do it because we're already all using injected products. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, as long as it hasn't been cooked and it's, you know, on ice, I think they could just say, if you want to do it at home, because you're bringing that stuff anyway.
Well, and it's probably one of those things that my guess would be it will evolve over time.
Yeah, it's like gas, you know, they're talking about adding gas, and I don't know if that'll pass or not, but probably will.
I don't see anything wrong with having gas, because a majority of Americans cook on gas for barbecues. And
yeah.
And, you know, don't exclude those people, I guess.
Yeah, I think if they're going to, personally for me, if they're going to add gas, then they might as well just add the electric too. I mean, you know, I'm sure there's propane and burn, you know, the gas burner stuff, and then there's electric smoke
right.
too.
Like,
might as well just, at this point, cook on whatever you want.
Yeah. Well, they could have a separate division for that. It wouldn't be the notoriety as the, you know, stick wood or charcoal or whatever, but. Still, you know,
and you hear both, you know, I talked to plenty of cooks. I think at least the guys that I talk to, them, the majority of them are still kind of, hey, you know, we've added the pellets and that's been around for a long time now. And I think a lot of them would kind of still want to see it stopped right there. And then you got the other guys, you know, that, hey, whatever, bring it on. I guess personally, I've never had a cook say, I would cook KCBS events or if. You know,
right.
you guys would allow gas. I've never heard anybody say that. So I don't know if there's a, you know, I don't know. It could be wrong, but I don't see a big demand out there. Cooks going, that's when I'll start cooking.
Well, and the other thing, John, to me, and we got to wrap up the show here real quick, but I mean, they're not going to cook brisket on gas. That's for damn sure. And,
yeah.
and they, I mean, they could possibly do chicken.
Sure.
They could possibly do pork. If they're really talented, they could probably do ribs but you get a different finish, as you know, on gas versus the other stuff. So they're kind of limited in what they can do anyway to make it competitive. Anyway, we digress. I wanted to thank you again for being with us, John Nilgus from Parrothead smokers. Congratulations, and stay dry and warm, would you?
Oh, we're going to. We got to go out to Ford and get the truck.
All right.
With that many miles on it, it's getting fixed right now, so I got to get ready for next year.
Okay. Next week, folks, we're going to have Mark Anderson from Shampooey Farms Turkey. Yes, it's turkey time, so we got to talk about that. Remember our motto, turn it, don't burn it. You can check out more of my stuff on thecowboycook.com. Until then, for Dr. Dave, we will see you next week.